Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, Ken Lizotte. He is the author of The Expert's Edge, Become the Go-To Authority That People Turn to Every Time, and the Chief Imaginative Officer for Emerson Consulting Group. We're going to be talking about why HR leaders should develop and even publish their own ideas, and why HR leaders should become thought leaders, and how to go about it. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David, and glad to be here with you and everybody else.
Well, I'm very excited to have you on. You know, obviously, I've met you, God, it was a few years ago, but I think that if I recall correctly, you worked very closely with a number of my colleagues in regards to this kind of topic. So I think it's appropriate that you come back and have a little bit more discussion about how it affects HR leaders. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. HR leaders should develop and even publish their own ideas. Ken, why is that? And why specifically the HR group?
Right. I think that's important. That's an important place to start, because we can talk about how to get published and why, in general, why professionals should publish their ideas. But I think for the HR community and profession, it's particularly important. You know, as long as I've been involved in business, and it's been a few decades, there's always been this issue about HR being recognized or not recognized by the C-level executives and decision-makers that they work with or under. And I'm surprised that it's still an issue, but it still seems to be an issue. I'm not saying that's true of all companies, because in particular I have a few client companies where their HR manager or VP is recognized as an equal among equals in the C-suite. But it seems to be not the prevalent case across the board in terms of United States industry. So in talking about becoming, as my book title says it, an expert with an edge, or having an edge to your expertise, it's important for HR in particular, because it can help them rise in stature and credibility, as well as get their own ideas out there in such a way that they can't be ignored by the people that they work with. And for that reason, I think that it would make any HR manager a much more powerful member of the leadership or executive team.
Well, you know, what you're really talking about is what we used to call getting a seat at the table, right?
I've avoided that.
I know, and I know you avoid it
because, yeah. Again, I've heard it myself for years and years, and it sort of amazes me that we still need to use it.
Well, you know, what's interesting, and certainly the trends in the last year have been that we're unfortunately seeing HR go backing underneath finance or the CFO. Progressive companies, solid companies are still leading, with the HR team being, or the HR leader still being at the seat of the table, and I'm using that term because it's the most commonly used term. But the reality is that there is this pushback to under finance, which is unfortunate because, you know, your people are our business's most important asset. And, in fact, having HR at the table makes a big difference. So, you know, talk to me about where you see the downfall being. I'll give you just a quick take on what I see is one of the challenges that you find with some HR professionals is that they don't have a solid business background. They more have, you know, a human background in terms of benefits background or some tactical area, payroll or something. And that even though they're generalists, they may not have the real clear understanding of that business side and how to make it have an ROI for the business, which is really where the CEO and the CFO sit, right? That ROI, return on investment, return on people.
Sure.
I call it ROP, return on people. You know, where is it that you get that? So do you see that being it? And how does someone becoming a thought leader, someone becoming that, how does that make that change in their mind?
Well, yeah, I do see. I see that, and I see one other aspect to this that that I'll elaborate on in a second. But in terms of that, I think that it is incumbent on HR professionals to learn more about the business side of things. Not that they have to go out and get an MBA and be just totally business oriented, but they need to see how they can make a case for whatever are their HR initiatives or the HR process can fit into the business goals. And that may be the failing for a lot of HR managers, is not thinking businessy enough. I don't mean to say that they should go over to the other side of it, because what they have to contribute to the table is, you know, a combination of a talent development and soft skills and various things that no one else around that table has to offer. So it's not a matter of diminishing that or you know, hiding any of that, but it is a matter of always being able to make or finding a way to make the case that this is a very crucial business opinion that I have, as opposed to a kind of what's called a fluffy or soft, only somewhat relevant HR opinion. So I would agree with you on that sense. The second thing I want to say is that it's my understanding, I'm not an HR expert like you are, but I have a feeling you'll back me up. I think that by far most HR managers, representatives, the HR department, most are women. And that brings its own problems in terms of both how women handle themselves in the business arena and how women are treated and viewed by men. And there's a great article in the Wall Street Journal about this, written by a former a female editor of the Wall Street Journal, about the biases that still exist on the part of males toward women, and the various ways that we men versus women interact and communicate, and whether a woman, for example, what I'm remembering, I just read the article an hour ago, but what I'm remembering for one point was that men will ask for a raise and women will typically not. And this is even the case where let's say there are five criteria that are being put out as justification for promoting someone or giving someone a raise. If a guy has only one of those criteria, he's likely to ask for the raise or the promotion. If a woman has four out of five or five out of five, she typically would hold back as well. So you got to fight this bias, and it's not just on women, of course, because men should be changing themselves as well. But nonetheless, this is all part of the battle to be seen as an equal member at the table.
You know, there was a book a number of years ago, of course, you know, Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus.
It's
a very famous book that's been out there, and I don't know if you've ever read it, but certainly I have read it. And there's a lot of truth to the basic understanding of the male versus female process. It's just how it is. And neither is right, neither is wrong. That's just the way it is. So, you know, I sometimes hear people say, well, you know, you have to act more like this or you have to act more like that. And I always go to the fact that, you know what, it's not necessarily that someone has to act like that. It's that someone has to be understanding and respectful of others' actions and opinions and personalities, and some of them are just inherent, and there's just not a way around that in terms of it. And so there does have to be this meshing of the two that comes together to make it a better culture at an organization.
Well, there are ways that we can learn as a culture to handle the situation better. For example, I have a client of mine whose name is Kathleen Burns Kingsbury, and she's in the financial advice world, but she's not a financial advisor herself. She actually works with financial advisors to help them understand how to treat their female clients in such a way that their communication and their services are more female-friendly. their clients are not necessarily just men, by the way. She works with female financial advisors, too. So, I mean, she's an example of somebody that has found a niche, basically, in this area where she can effectively help change, if not attitudes, at least behavior, so that it works better for women clients in this case. And I think we could translate a lot of that into the HR arena as well.
We are talking about, you know, how HR professionals and leaders should develop their own ideas and either get them published or at least promote them in a way that gives them credibility in their workplace environment. So do you have like some an overview of some of the steps or some of the process or beginning of the process that an individual can take to start getting their thoughts together and talk about and understand where they should start this process?
Yes, I do. And I'll go through some of that for you. Before I do, let me just preface it by saying, first of all, I think it was really important for us to have this initial discussion so that there's a context for why HR people would even bother to do this. You know, in this case, as we've just discussed, it, for HR in particular, it's critical that there be a way found to upgrade their credibility. Their credibility, their stature, the credibility of their opinions and ideas and all of that. And my work is with not just with HR professionals, but with all kinds of professionals. And the same is true for all of them. That's the value of positioning yourself as a published author or, again, going back to my book title, An Expert with an Edge, or another term I use is to be a thought leader. It changes the game for you in relation to your colleagues or to your competitors, you know, whatever it is your that's your place in the business world. So having said that, there's great value in publishing your ideas, you know, and by the way, if for no other reason that most people you look around you, whether you're in business for yourself and you're looking at your competitors, or if you're working at a company and you're looking at your colleagues, most people by far will not be doing what we're going to be talking about today, that is publishing their ideas.
No, it's true.
So that alone sets you apart from everyone else.
No, it's true. I mean, you have to, this takes time. It takes energy. It takes content, and a lot of HR professionals say, I don't know if I have the time. You know, what really will it do for me, right? What really will it make a difference in my life? Will it make a difference in my career? I would argue that if you don't do it, can you imagine what it couldn't do for you, right? So the opposite approach, the other thought process on that is, if you are comfortable with where you're at, don't do anything. But if you want to grow, develop, and become a leader in the industry and the leader in the HR world, you've got to do it.
Right. That's it. Leader. That's why the term thought leader is helpful, although it's too lofty for some people to think of themselves as thought leaders. But to be leaders in the area of your thoughts and your ideas, this is a crucial way to do it. It's very important to do.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. We're talking with Ken Lizotte. He's talking about HR leaders becoming thought leaders. And we're going to tell you how. After the break on the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan? I like bronze, like my tan. Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we are talking today with Ken Lizotte. He is the Chief Imaginative Officer at Emerson Consulting Group. He's an author. Yes, he is. And he's also talking to us about how HR leaders can become thought leaders. So, you know, before we went to break, we said that we would come back and we'd talk about the beginning of the process to make that happen. So, Ken, kind of take us through how somebody gets their mind wrapped around how to make this happen.
Okay. So, first of all, let me tell you what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about social media. I'm not talking about having a blog and doing a blog. I'm not talking about tweeting, and I'm not talking about what you can post on your Facebook. Those 10 years ago when I used to talk about this, obviously I didn't have to mention that, but I think it's important to mention now, because people get thinking that that's the way to publish your ideas. The problem with those things is that they're, number one, not seen by all that many people generally, unless you have lots and lots of followers and fans on Facebook, etc. The second thing is that they're just self-serving in the sense of you're self-publishing. There's no editor vetting your ideas. There's no publication or book publisher that is taking a risk on you and investing in you. And in that sense, publishing articles in reputable publications, and that includes online publications, usually in your profession or your industry, and or publishing a book or publishing books, in all those cases, you are, I'll say with one exception, in all those cases, you have someone from the outside, a third party, that has to make a decision that your ideas and your writing is worth investing in and putting out in front of their readers or their buying public, viewing public. So that's important for us to focus on two areas here if you're going to really be a powerful thought leader and raise your stature and raise your credibility among your colleagues. Publishing articles and publishing books. Now, publishing, you don't have to do both. That's important to know, too. You don't have to do both. If you're going to choose one or the other and you're inclined, publishing a book is by far the best thing you could do, because publishing a book, there's, despite the rise of Kindles and e-books and all of that, holding a book in one's hand or being able to show a book or passing it off or giving it as a gift or somebody purchasing it, there's something about the concreteness of a book that is still with us, and I don't think it's ever going to go away. So if you have written a book and published a book, you're going to really impress people in your life. So that's the number one way to become a thought leader. However, I've worked in this area long enough to know that if you're listening to me talking about a book and you're getting excited, that number one, you should know that it's very, very, very possible to make that happen today. Whereas back in the old days, meaning 15, 20 years ago and hundreds of years before, you had to find a publisher to do it, and things have changed now. So they've changed in such a way that if you want to publish a book, you really can. However, a lot of people don't want to write a book. They're listening to me, and they're thinking, this is too daunting. I have no interest in it. It would take too much time. I don't know if I have a book in me, and on and on and on. And I would never try to convince somebody that those objections need to be pushed aside, because you really have to have it in yourself to write a book. It's a huge commitment. So what's left? What's left is publishing articles. And publishing articles is a perfectly acceptable way to become a thought leader. It will also prove that you have both exciting and significant ideas to bring to the table. So that's what we're talking about here, how to publish articles and how to publish a book. And so, I wanted to make that distinction that
I think that's very important.
People have to do everything.
No, although I think that's important.
Some people want to, so there is a third category there. But those are the vehicles that will raise your stature as a thought leader.
So just to tag on that before we talk about how to do that, when you're talking about articles, people might say, well, does that mean they have to be published in a magazine? Do they have to be published in a newspaper? Do they have to be published on just some online company or area or blog area? How does that work?
Yeah, it could be any of those things. Obviously, it used to be that there were newspapers and there were magazines, and that was pretty much it, or newsletters, I should say, printed newsletters. And now so much of that has gone online. So online is perfectly acceptable. But those are the kinds of things in which someone else is publishing. It's kind of like me being on your radio show or your podcast. You had to accept me as a guest. You had to make a decision. So that's different from me doing my own podcast, and being able to say whatever I want to say or handle it however I want. You had to see some value in my coming on for your listeners. So that's what we're looking for in publishing an article. And it doesn't matter if it's a little e-newsletter that only goes out to 100 or 200 subscribers, if that particular list of subscribers is the kind of audience that you want to speak to. So it doesn't matter if it's that or if it's, a huge publication like Forbes or Fortune or Business Week or something like that.
Does getting into some of those publications or any of those areas really increase the status of it? Does it help to say, hey, this thought leader not only publishes his own, but he's being recognized by, a radio show, a newspaper, a magazine, or an online publisher?
Does it raise your stature?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Again, for the same reason that I was describing the reaction to having published a book, it works with articles as well. Most people are not doing this. They're not publishing articles. So they're very impressed, even if you've published an article in a publication they've never heard of. Their first instinct is, reaction might probably be, gee, I wonder how she did it. I wish I could do it. I don't know if I could do it. There's a sense of giving much more credibility. So yes, it absolutely works. And I've had a lot of people I've worked with over the years that have only published articles year after year.
No, that's great.
And they really do raise your stature and credibility.
So somebody's ready to do this. They've listened now. They say, okay, Ken, I think I'm going to become a thought leader. I'm going to start the process. What are some of the things they need to actually do? What are the kickoff points?
Right. Well, the first thing they need to do is develop a short list of ideas for their article, for the potential articles. I say a list because what the mistake a lot of people make is to have one idea for one article and then go off and start writing it, and then they might submit it somewhere to something. And frequently, using that process, you may not hear from the editor at all. You might not hear back. That discourages you, and you never do it again. But that's not the effective way to go about this. The effective way is to first put together what I call an article ideas list, and that could be a list of, say, 5 or 10 ideas for different articles. Each article should be something that illustrates your expertise and or your opinion about something. It could even be something that's taking place in your company. And each idea, by the way, does not need to be a fully written article. It just needs to be a brief one-paragraph description of the idea. Okay. By the way, I should point out that everything I'm describing from here on is in my book. It's in a chapter in my book on how to go about this. So,
and that's called the book is
notes right now.
Yeah, no, the book is The Expert's Edge, becomes the go-to authority that people turn to every time.
Right, and that's where I've laid out all of this, and also on my website I have some articles like this too. So it can start to get a little complicated. That's why I wanted to put that out.
No, I understand. And we're gonna go over here at 30,000 feet exactly how this process works, and we certainly encourage people to go to thoughtleading.com to take a look at your information.
Right, great. Okay, so the first step is not to write an article, but to formulate some ideas. So it could have to do with things that you've noticed that in the human resources area are important to companies. I have a client, for example, that works for a large IT company, and they have an apprenticeship program there that's been very successful. And she wrote about that, and that is a way of describing not only the company's success with this apprenticeship program that they've developed, but also, you know, it sort of subtly suggests the kind of expertise she has as well, because she was involved in developing it in the company and managing it and helping greatly to make it a success. So when she publishes an article, as she has in a major print publication, it gives her a couple of things: the credibility of having published her ideas in a publication, but also, you know, the article itself is going to be illustrating her expertise and saying something about her competence in that way too. So an article ideas list is the first step. The second step is to create a list of target publications. Now, people, you know, frequently think of the largest, biggest name publications like Fortune, Forbes, Business Week, et cetera. And I have to tell you that those, you know, six or seven biggest name publications are typically not publications that you're going to be in, because they tend to be staff written and they're not taking articles from outsiders. But who cares? Those are the broadest audiences anyway. What you probably want as an HR expert is perhaps other HR people to hear your ideas, or the general business community in your industry to hear your ideas. The main thing, though, is that in a way it's not that important who publishes you, as long as it's a relevant publication on some level, large or small, because the fact of being published is what creates your credibility or elevates your credibility. So, but you still want to look at, like, what's a good target publication or a list of target publications that I would love to be published in. And now you've got these two lists, and the next thing that you do is you take your first list, your article ideas list, and you start emailing it to editors at these publications with just a brief note saying, I have a number of ideas here I thought you might be interested in. I'd be happy to work on one or more of them for you. You know, please let me know. And so that's just three steps in this process, and it's very simple. You can see it's simple. Might take a little work to kind of develop the ideas, but it's a fairly simple, straightforward process. And what's going to happen next is, if you've sent out your ideas to 10, 15, 20 publications, it's kind of a numbers game, really. The more, the better. You are basically not going to hear from most of the editors on your list. You're not going to hear anything. But if you hear from one or two or three, and it's typically one or two, what you're going to hear is, yes, that sounds like a good idea, or number three on your list sounds like a great idea from our readers. Can you write this article and submit it to me by, so give a date, a deadline, which may be, say, February 1, and they'd say, please limit your word count to, and then they'll give you a word count. Might be 800 words, 1,000 words, 1,500 words, whatever works for them. Those two pieces of information are what you'll hear back. And once you have that, the final step here in the process is, guess what? You have to write the article. You write the article in any way competently, then when you submit it, it is going to be published.
So what we're going to do is we're going to come back in a few minutes after a break, and you're going to talk about what competently means, because I think that's an important element to this. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan. Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan. Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan? I like bronze, like my tan. Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
If you'd like to be a guest on the HR Power Hour or be a show sponsor, send David an email today at info@hrpowerhour.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we are talking with the one, the only, Ken Lizotte. He is the Chief Imaginative Officer for Emerson Consulting Group and the author of The Expert's Edge, Become the Go-To Authority That People Turn To Every Time. Ken, we've been talking about why HR leaders should develop and even publish their own ideas and why HR leaders should become thought leaders in general. And now we've, of course, in the last segment, talked about how they actually go about it. But you said something at the end of the segment, which I think is really important. And you said, if you can write something that is at least somewhat competent, it will probably get published. Well, that's a very wide statement. Can you define that a little bit for us?
Well, what I mean by competence, a couple of things. One is whether you write it in such a way that what you're expressing is clear and to the point. Business articles tend to be to the point as opposed to long, drawn-out scenarios and explanations. So you want to write it to the point. And secondly, your competence means that the article will be delivering the message or the points that you proposed. So when you have your short descriptions on your article ideas list, you don't want to end up writing a variation or a completely different article when you get the go-ahead from the editor. So that's what I mean. But I also would say that a lot of times people have doubts about their own writing. And we also hear that people's writing ability in the business world is terrible. And there's a lot of incompetence. Personally, I have not seen that. All of my clients, and I've been doing this for 17 years, and they're business experts in all kinds of fields. What I do for them is not right for them. I ask all of them to write their first drafts, and then what we do is provide editing for them. In 17 years, there are only a few exceptions where I've had to bring in a ghost writer. I think that people's ability to write is much more competent than they give themselves credit for. You don't have to be the top most excellent writer to win a Pulitzer Prize, but you just have to provide the same kind of competence that you would deliver when composing a good email memo, let's say, or a report, you know, for your team or your supervisor. The kind of writing that you do normally is what I mean by competence.
You know,
if you deviate from that, then your article will be accepted.
So when you say, because I think, you know, there are some people who may debate the fact that people are writing better because of, I certainly have heard from a number of business leaders that they are very concerned about this, text form coming into the business writing world. And I've actually seen it even in resumes and so forth where they're almost texting sentences rather than actually writing sentences. Having said that, when somebody's writing an article, how important is sentence structure, grammatical? How important is tense and all those things? Because people, when they write, some people write for an article and it will be written in a proper way, and others write it as you would read it or say it, right? So how does that make a difference in terms of tone or importance to the editor, to the article company that's looking at it?
Well, it does make a difference, absolutely. And for that reason, you should have someone edit your article before you submit it, just in case. Whether it's somebody in your company, in the communications department or marketing department that might be good at that, or if you're willing to put out a little dough of your own, or you've got a budget so you can hire an editor from the outside, that doesn't hurt. Of course, my clients write their first drafts, but then what we do is provide editing to make sure all those things that you're describing are going to be in great shape. So everybody actually needs an editor when you get right down to it. But I would just go back to what I said about my own experience in 17 years of doing this, and that is that there are situations in which we have to do a fairly intensive editing for our clients, but most of the time, by far, it's kind of light editing because people are better at writing than they think or than it's been believed. I can't speak to what you were just saying about. I think you were saying like the resumes and things.
Yes.
It's almost like they're texting or something. I haven't really seen that yet, but maybe I'll start seeing it in the near future. I don't know. But so far, what I see is more competence than not.
Well, you know, it's an interesting dialogue as you're talking to some of the next generation, right? Not even Y, but Z, that's starting to come into the workforce now at 16. You are seeing some less attention to detail, if you want to put it that way, as in terms of being able to write. And irregardless of the fact, I mean, today people text. I've seen kids text to one another next to each other sitting on the couch. Right, they don't even talk. They just text
right.
one another.
It's yeah.
And as you know, it has a different meaning. Words are different than talking to somebody and just looking at them and reading their body language with that, because you just don't get the same context. But anyway,
well, it's true. But if I can make one positive argument for that generation, every summer I have four or five interns from colleges that spend 2 months with me to learn what we're talking about today. And their writing is very good, and they take to this immediately. And frequently I have them. One of the things I guarantee as part of the program is that before the 2 months are up, these college sophomores, juniors, or seniors are going to also have written and published an article during that internship program, published an article. And it always happens. And I have to say that my daughter is a junior in college right now, and she is one of the best writers. And I didn't spend time giving her writing lessons either. She has developed as one of the best writers that I frankly could imagine. So, you know, I think when you're professional and when you're good and when you apply yourself, your writing, like everything else, is going to get better and better, and it's not going to be stuck in the social media or the texting mode.
No, I think you're right. Certainly, if someone is professional and somebody gets it, quote unquote, then I think you're correct on that. You know, what I'd like to do is ask you the next question, which is, okay, you know, we're at the point here where we've written an article, it's been accepted, it's got published. I'm assuming that you're not going to get any necessarily money for that, because you're
right,
really
no
doing
money.
This. No money, right? So I want to be up front with everybody that simply says, hey, look, this is not
a part-time job.
That's exactly right. This is to use your credibility to go out there and build your career or build your credibility. So I think it's important to note that up front, because people might go, wow, if I wrote an article and Forbes liked it, they're going to pay me something.
Yeah, well, they would if you were what's called a freelance writer, but that would mean that you're not writing about your own thing. You'd be writing about other people's. You'd be a journalist, basically.
Right, and that is a difference and a nuance. I just thought it was important to bring up. So I guess the next part of the question is, you've gotten published. It's out there. How does the HR leader then go and show their supervisors, their CEO, that, and start getting them to understand that they're doing this so that they can be taken seriously in that area? What's the communication without starting to, you know, going, hey, guess what? I've been published. I mean, how do you go about that? How's that communication go?
Well, that's a really good question because, again, it's important that people understand that the being published, whether it's a huge, large publication or a very small one, that aspect of it may not actually result in very much positive reaction. It's still going to tend to be the people you know who you want to impress, like, as you say, your boss or your colleagues or whatever. And I mean, yes, passing. You know, I could imagine being at around a conference table at a meeting or beginning of a meeting and saying or putting reprints of your article at every place setting, and you know people are going to see that just as if you were go out and do a speaking engagement. If you passed out your article, your reprints before you started, then everyone has that, and that sets the mood for your credibility. But I assure you that if everybody was coming into a meeting and they all saw this colorful reprint in front of them and they saw that it was an article written by one of their own, people would be impressed. You know, some people would just outright say, wow, you wrote this? This is fantastic. Oh, you got it published? This is fantastic. Some of those might be more quiet because they might be jealous, frankly, or this and that. But it's a way of just getting it right out there in their face, but not by so much waving it and saying, hey, everybody, I just published an article. What have you guys done? You don't want to wave it in their faces in that way. But you can subtly get it out. You could go to your boss and say, I just wanted to let you know. I just wrote an article that I think would be helpful. You can also get them involved in the beginning. You can tell them that you're in the process of writing an article, and do they have any thoughts for the article? Maybe there are even people within the company you could interview for the article if it's appropriate, you know, and make people part of the process. Make sure that your boss knows that you're trying to promote the company in this article that you're working on, not just doing something for yourself. And that's, you know, that alone starts to cause people to see you in a whole different light, and that helps you promote it.
You know, you're bringing up a good point about if you're going to bring the company into it. You may have to, depending on the firm or company you work for, you may have to get permission to use some information on the company.
Yeah, sometimes the larger companies in particular are very hung up on that. So, yeah, you've got to know your procedures. I'm guessing most companies don't have formal procedures, but maybe informally you want to make sure the company doesn't have a problem with it. You know, in the finance industry, there's all kinds of regulations around compliance, as they call it, and that sort of thing. And I've had people in that profession who want to hire me have to say, you know, I checked with my compliance officer and they won't let me write any articles. But I think that's not the case in most of it. I think it's just it would be a new thing, and it's good to talk to people around you about it. And then I think if you were to write a draft before you submitted it to the publication, run it by your boss, for example. You know, so that maybe he or she makes a few tweaks and then can pass off on it. So there's a lot of politicking that might have to go on, but in the end, I would predict that 90% of people who try this will successfully make it happen.
We're speaking with Ken Lizott. He is the Chief Imaginative Officer at Emerson Consulting Group. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and it is presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking with Ken Lizott. He is the author of The Expert's Edge, Become the Go-To Authority that People Turn to Every Time, and is the CIO, the Chief Imaginative Officer at Emerson Consulting Group. And we're talking about why HR leaders should develop and even publish their own ideas and become thought leaders. Ken, we've talked a lot about today the process. We've talked about why it's important. We've talked about how people do it. Can you tie it up here a little bit and give an example of a person or two or an organization or two, or how this has come together to be successful for individuals?
Well, it occurs to me as we're talking that you've had three guests on your show in the past that some people might remember who are clients of mine. Carol Bergeron is one, Jim Edholm is another, and Suzanne Bates is another. And all three of them have done both of what we're talking about today. They've published articles and they've published a book, or in Suzanne Bates' case, four books. But, to kind of give people an example, to illustrate a picture of how this works, I would think of Jim Edholm, who's an HR consultant and particularly specializing in benefits and critical issues for HR. And he is just publishing this month an article called Top 5 HR Critical Issues for 2015. Forgive me if that's not exactly the title, but that's a general idea. The article is being written for NARA, which everybody knows, I think, is the New England Human Resources Association, for their newsletter. So he has written this article, and it will be any day now coming out online via email published by NARA. But Jim also has done a book himself, and he's done a lot of other articles over the years. And in the process of doing his book, by the way, he had been doing nothing but writing articles for years, and in thinking about a book rather than starting from scratch, he realized he had so much material from these various articles that most of his book are compiling the various articles into chapters and into parts and categories in the book. So the process here of becoming a thought leader is one that can happen in a lot of different ways. And I'd I just finished by saying that, a note about books themselves. I mentioned earlier that it used to be that you had to find a publisher to publish a book, and that's still a way to do it, and many people want to go ahead and do it that way. But self-publishing is also a way to go about writing a book, and because of various new technologies like the print-on-demand technology, it's much less expensive than it used to be, and there are a lot of good reasons to go ahead and do that. My whole point in saying all that is simply to, again, I'll repeat that anyone who wants to write a book as well as articles can do it. There are a lot of opportunities out there, and there are a lot of ways to make this process work. And Jim Edholm, my benefits planning HR consultant, is a great example of somebody who's been able to do that for many years.
No, that's great, Ken. And I got to tell you, it's been very informative today to understand that HR leaders can actually go out and make a difference, not only at their workplace and in their careers, but that they can actually publish and develop articles that really can make a difference.
Yeah, and can I quickly say one other thing?
Sure.
I meant to say earlier, it's not just about promoting your company, it's about promoting you. So if you wanted to increase your stature as a professional in your career, having an article or two or three, much less a book, would be a way to make you stand out from that crowd, too, if you were looking for another job or you're looking to be promoted or something along those lines. This can be this whole process can be a career tool for you personally as well.
Well, thank you very much, Ken, for being on the show today. You know, everybody can go to hrpowerhour.com right after this show, and you'll see the information on Ken. You'll be able to click on a link that will take you right to his book, as well as also to thoughtleading.com, his website. And I encourage everybody to go there today. Again, thanks, Ken, for being on the show today.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Well, thank you very much. And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. According to businessweek.com's article on Bloomberg Businessweek, four reasons to hire smarter people than you. 1. Smart people know how to communicate their strengths. 2. Smart people are efficient and proactive. 3. Smart people don't limit themselves to their job descriptions. And 4, smart people challenge their bosses. That's right. That's 4 reasons to hire smarter people than you. And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be speaking with Peter Greenlaw. He is the author of Why Diets Are Failing Us, and he's talking about the second edition of this book. Peter, of course, has been on the show before, and we're looking forward to him talking to us about it. This is part of a new movement he started called the New Health Conversation. Listen to it live on the HR Power Hour next week on News Talk WLLB. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLLB, 1310 a.m., or streaming live on WLLBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.